Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 280 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined by Jacob Alka. It's been too long, as always, but we're glad to be back talking about all the great games we've been playing, all the great games that have come this year, many more just ahead of us as of the day we're recording this podcast. It is a Wednesday evening, approximately 8:14 p.m. as we get rolling in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm happy to be here with you, Jacob. How you been?
Garrett, I'm doing great. How are you doing, my buddy?
I'm doing well. Just, I hate to say it. It's just nothing really interesting to say apart from, just working, you know?
Dude, that's been my life.
Just existing for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long week already. It's only Wednesday. So.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm gonna get up tomorrow and do it all again. You know, it's the life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of ironic. We live closer than ever, than we ever have in our lives, actually. Mm-hmm. And we still hardly ever see each other.
I know. I mean, we see each other.
I
kind
of put that on you, though, Jacob, because I've told you on more than one occasion, I can see you any night of the week if you want.
Yeah.
You just got to let me know.
Why are you putting me on the spot like this?
I'm just saying, man. I feel like I'd mentioned that a couple of times and I haven't heard from you.
Well, things happen, you know.
Things happen. I gotta go to work. I gotta go to the grocery store. I gotta get gas.
Yeah, that's
convincing,
life
right? Stuff.
Like sometimes totally. Things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I'm pretty busy this weekend.
Oh, you don't have time now.
But I can I can do any night this week.
I work during the week, so I gotta get up early.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of these days, I guess.
One of these days.
We'll make the time. At least we're here together on the internet this evening.
True. I feel like we haven't done this in a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, if we've just both been working, talk to me about what games you've been playing.
What games have I been playing? So, I've been playing a little game called Resident Evil 4 Remake. And
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm playing it a little late compared to everybody else. I mean, it came out a couple weeks ago, I believe, and just bought it like maybe last weekend, so maybe put in, I don't know, maybe 2-3 to 4 hours maybe. I guess I could kind of spoil what's going on in the game because it's,
yeah, what's the last thing you did in the game before recording this podcast?
So I got the boat and I like fought the thing that like in the lake when you get the boat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I killed him, or I speared him. I'm not sure if he's dead or not. I assume he is. And I've just been going around exploring, finding treasures around the lake. And I found the two little, I don't know what kind of heads they are, but there's little heads that go in these stone pillars, or the hands, I think. And I put those in and then I unlock something. So that's
nice.
Where I am.
Okay. Yeah, you're off to the races, man. You're doing it.
Yeah. So the game starts out very slow and I didn't know if I was going to like it at first. Because I don't know, like I've never played RE4, so I didn't know like how the gameplay sort of feels. And I know it's kind of different now on the remake, but it just felt so
stiff. You thought the village part was slow?
Yeah. Like after the village, it just felt like very, I don't know. It just felt like stiff. I wasn't crazy about the gunplay, and most of it was because I was using a controller and I couldn't aim to save my life. But I eventually got used to it again. And, you know, it started to grow on me a little bit. And now I'm at the point where I'm enjoying it a lot. Because, you know, I've gotten used to the controls. I've gotten used to, like, you know, I've gotten a lot more weapons now. So I'm not just running around with, you know, a single grenade and a pistol. You know, I have quite a few selections and I've got some attachments, too. So everything's starting to kind of flow. I'm getting into the rhythm. And I got to say, the game's not really scary at all. It's just very action packed and, you know, it's fun. But nothing's really, like, terrified me yet. So I'm hoping
for sure
something's sort of going to do that, but we'll see. We'll see.
There really is only one there's a couple spooky moments throughout the game, but there's one true, like, pretty terrifying sequence toward the end that the game's really well known for historically. And it's fun.
Is it the same in this game as it is in the original?
Yeah, I'd say it's even scarier just because the fidelity of the game is makes it even more intense. But
okay, I'm excited.
I want to hear more from you, just your general thoughts, but just my quick thoughts are I have beaten it. I started my New Game Plus playthrough, at least my first New Game Plus playthrough. Game's meant to be intended to be played multiple times, but
I think it's an absolute masterpiece. I love every single thing about it. I love the original too, but I'd only played it once before on PS4, actually, of all places, about a year or two ago before the remake came out. So it's pretty fresh in my mind. And I've seen comparison videos of the things that are the same, things that are evolved, things that are either cut or changed entirely. And it's kind of the beauty of this remake in particular. And most of the Resident Evil remakes, with the exception of 3, is that it's really not only just a great remake, but it's very complimentary of the original in many ways. So you could still go back and play the original and enjoy it for different reasons, which is cool. But I hear what you're saying about the gunplay, because it took me probably a couple of hours to get used to it on controller as well. And because I played the demo on PS5 and PC, mm-hmm. and I actually played all of RE2 Remake on PC, and the aiming is just so easy and amazing on PC, because you can just be deadly accurate without any effort. Yeah. But on PlayStation, you feel like it's always kind of working against you.
Yeah, I feel like it's so floaty, and I can never, you know, time it right. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. I'm at a point now where I've played the game so much that it's like second nature to me. And I'm assuming it'll be the same for you. You'll play enough to where you just get so used to the way the game feels that you'll just become a master at it and feel pretty powerful. But yeah, it's very much known for being action packed, and you're intended to use your ammo and not conserve as much. I mean, you can really go crazy on a lot of these enemies, and taking advantage, of course, your roundhouse kick, your suplex, your knife parries now, which is pretty sick. Leon Kennedy is just one of the best video game characters of all time. And his evolution from 2 to this game is incredible. Yeah, but I really did love everything about it. I think it's an absolute masterpiece. And I was actually, I love it so much that one of the things I did was unlock the hand cannon and the infinite ammo upgrade you can get for it. So on my second playthrough, I'm going through with an infinite ammo hand cannon, just obliterating everything, which is great.
When do you get the hand cannon?
You unlock it, I think, from, my brain's fragged. I just spent like 6 days in a row killing myself to review Jedi Survivor. So my brain's so fried. But I think you get it after you beat the game. You unlock it, and New Game Plus, you unlock it and you can buy it. I think that's what it is. Okay. But there's fun, because there's challenges throughout the game that you have to complete to unlock other weapons and other little trinkets here and there. And I love that you can really make the game your own, too, with the charms you can put on your case and the way you organize your case, the different weapons and their different pros and cons. And an essential upgrade, if you haven't bought it yet, is the laser sight for your pistol.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, I'd say, I recommend finding, I had handgun always as like my main for a lot of situations, because you find the most ammo for it. Yeah. And it's the easiest to craft ammo for. But I think my personal favorite handgun, aside from the hand cannon, of course, is the Punisher.
Yeah.
Because that one has minimal recoil. And once you upgrade it all the way, that thing's pretty deadly.
Yeah, I think
I've heard other.
Is that the one that comes from like doing the quests, that currency? I think it is. I remember seeing it on
maybe.
The video.
I can't remember. I bought the deluxe edition and it came with it automatically, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was already in my case when I bought the game.
Yeah, I think it costs like 5 to 10 of those little pink currency things, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a worth it for that pistol. I think a pistol's great.
Yeah. I just been so using many fun the basic weapons. Pistol, man. And I've upgraded it a lot. So it's packing quite a punch now. And also I love the submachine gun, obviously, for just mowing through guys. But I've
you
recently
have a rifle
just
yet?
Yeah. I got a rifle. Nice. I got a scope on it if I want it. I have a shotgun. Obviously you get it very early on, but I rarely use it. I keep it in my storage mainly. But yeah, I love to just stealth through towns too. That's a lot of fun. I like trying to like challenge myself to see how many people I can kill stealthed before they notice me. Usually it doesn't last very long, but you know, it's a fun little challenge that I try to do a lot.
I have so much fun with the combat. I love just going into an arena and just going to town, especially when you finish the game and you have all your upgrades, you have full health and like all the stuff at your disposal, plenty of ammo and all your favorite weapons by the end, because you just keep unlocking more and more weapons as you go, which is fun. And really taking advantage of the economy in the game and those risk reward situations and determining what you want to take into each situation is fun. So many things to love about it. It's just such a phenomenal game. I love it so much that what I was trying to say earlier is that I was sad to step away from it to review Jedi. As much as I really like Jedi, which I'll talk about later, I was sad to walk away from it because I was having so much fun playing it. So I'm glad to hear you're playing it, Jacob.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to play it at first because I was trying to grind through Harry Potter, which I also did play. I forgot about that. And I beat it too, which is...
Oh, nice. I haven't beaten that yet.
Yeah.
Which is big news, because the last time we did this podcast, I was praising it.
Yeah, yeah. We were all on Harry Potter's dick. Let's to say it lightly. Like, we love that game.
Wouldn't we not, if we're being honest?
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty big Potter nerds, but... Yeah,
Hold on to that subject for a second. Okay. We can segue off that pretty well.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you've beaten Hogwarts. Talk to me about your overall thoughts.
Just on Hogwarts?
Yeah.
Overall, narratively, it's pretty poor. It's nothing mm-hmm. special in terms of the story it's telling. Personally, I've never been a big fan of the goblins in Harry Potter. I don't think they're that interesting. I mean, some of them can be. Like, for example, Dobby. A lot of the house elves, when they do introduce them, do have personality. But a lot of the times when they like use goblins from the bank, I never think that's that interesting. Or just like an evil goblin like that is in this game, I don't think he's that cool. I'm going to be completely honest. I would have rather seen someone that was a little more, you know, into the dark arts, not necessarily tied to like ancient magic or whatever they use in this game. So that was a little bit of a letdown. But personally, I still think the fact that you got to make your own character, get into a house in Hogwarts, and then basically be a student for, you know, several seasons throughout the game, it, almost as if you actually go to school there. It's a lot. I mean, honestly, I had pretty high expectations, and it mostly met them, except for sort of the narrative, I guess, is what I want to say. The gameplay was really good overall, and again, I just think Hogwarts itself and the areas around Hogwarts were pretty good in terms of, you know, just a nice open world. And then the castle itself and Hogsmeade were both really, really good. And I think those were probably the best areas of the game by a long shot. Not to say that the open world areas were bad by any means. They're just kind of overshadowed by how good Hogwarts is, because it's Hogwarts, you know. But yeah, I really enjoyed the game. It was pretty good, but I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want a sequel. I'm sure we might get one or another game like that in some way. And I did see that there's going to be a Quidditch game coming out sometime. So they're doing a playtest for it, right? Or did it already happen? I can't remember.
I know they did a playtest and they're going to do more. I stopped playing Hogwarts because I kind of got burnt down on it.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because I really did love every second I spent with it up until probably the last 10 hours or so. I think it's because I got in a loop where I was still occasionally coming across cool surprises, but all the surprises, I guess, had kind of run their course at the point, because I just exhausted so much of the side content.
Me too.
That I was like behind on the main story. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was kind of like not even in the mood to continue the main story.
Here's the thing, Gary. You have to do those because you are underleveled if you don't, going into the last missions like I was.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the boss fights are like even more challenging if you're not high enough level.
Yeah, and there was no aspect of the game I was really bored of. I'd kind of grown tired of as a whole. That's really not a knock against it. Like, I still think the combat's really cool, that we can mix and match your spells. I'm actually having to recall a lot, because I've played other games since the last time I played Hogwarts. I have to like recall what it's like to play. But don't really dislike anything about it. I'll eventually go back and beat it, of course. Probably, honestly, for the time being, not anytime soon, because between now and the next couple of months, we have so many incredible games coming out that I can't even imagine myself getting back to Hogwarts anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I will at some point. You mentioned the Quidditch game. I think it's called Quidditch Hogwarts. It's called Harry Potter Quidditch Champions, I think, or something. And which really was a surprise so soon after the release of Hogwarts Legacy. You know, there's speculation is this game's existence the main reason why Quidditch isn't in Hogwarts Legacy? That could be part of it.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't ready.
Yeah, whatever this game is, although it's a drastically different art style from Hogwarts Legacy, I can imagine whatever it is plugging into Hogwarts Legacy if it had actually existed in the game in the first place. But I'm excited to see what it's all about, because I know we've talked about Quidditch ad nauseum on this podcast over the years, and especially within the last 6 months or so with Hogwarts. I'm interested to see if our ideas have come to life that we've talked about in this game, or if it's something we never imagined. Yeah. My biggest hope is that it, one, works, and that it's of course, accessible and fun to play, but there's like a decent skill gap so that you feel really rewarded for playing well. And the way that I joined the Discord and signed up for the playtest, I may or may not get into a future playtest, but there's sections for like Chaser, Beater, Seeker, I think that's all, the Keeper. So I don't know if that's intended for, because I haven't actually gone back into those threads in a while, but I don't know if the game's broken up into positions for each player like we've thought could potentially be a possibility, or if it's just one-on-one situations where you're controlling the entirety of the team, kind of like Quidditch World Cup back in the day.
Yeah.
But great potential for it. I'm assuming it'll be free to play.
Yeah, you would think.
A multiplayer game like that assumes me it would be. The only thing, I know you create a character as well, but it's called Harry Potter. Maybe just the keyword is going to help it sell better, but
yeah.
Harry Potter Quidditch Champions. So
I bet you would say just more. An online game where you just queue in for a match, and then, you know, each position is filled by a person, you know, in the real world, and you just control one position. That's what I would envision for it, if I had to guess. I don't think it would be like FIFA where you're like controlling a whole team.
Mm-hmm.
That would seem less fun to me, I think.
I also want online leaderboards like I've talked about in the past, where depending on which house you're a part of, I don't know if it's the kind of game where you can just play as any house anytime, or if you have to like commit to one in the beginning, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see online leaderboard to see which house globally is performing the best. And yeah, the Quidditch cool. game sounds cool to me. Like as many sports sim aspects they can throw in there that you'd see on like your Madden or your FIFA or like a racing game could be kind of cool. Just having stats like that. Like how many, if you're a keeper, like how many quaffles you've blocked, how many snitches you've caught, how many players you've knocked off their broom if you're a beater, like stats like that could keep
it'd be cool if it was like Apex where it kind of has like the ribbons next to you, like the load-in screen where it like has like stats that you choose to list.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's one of my favorite aspects of Apex. That's something I've wanted to see in Halo Infinite for a while, is because all the medals you get in the game are always cool, and it'd be great to have a ribbon that comes up or your banner that says 600 double kills, 400 no scopes, and like stuff like that. Just makes you look cool.
Yeah.
I've wanted to see that come to Halo, but yeah, anything like that is always a plus.
When was the last time you played Halo?
Not that long ago, actually, probably a few weeks. It was before Resident Evil came out.
Okay. How is it doing right now?
It's fine. Yeah. It's still not the best thing ever, but that studio's undergone absolute hell. Microsoft, which we'll talk about, is like Microsoft's in kind of in trouble, I think, dude.
You think?
Like that the whole state of the gaming division of Microsoft, Xbox, I should say, is in a really bizarre place right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of in a hole that I can't imagine them digging themselves out of.
Really?
I mean, Microsoft could rebrand Xbox entirely and start from the ground up because they're that wealthy, but I don't know what it'll be. But what was the other Harry Potter thing? Oh, yeah, let's talk about the TV show before we move on.
Okay.
So HBO, now soon to be called just Max, which is hilarious to me, is going to produce a Harry Potter TV show based on the books. Each book is going to get its own season, brand new cast. J.K. Rowling is contributing to the producer side to help guide it, which I think is great news. And when I heard this news, this is something I imagined that we would see in our lifetimes. Honestly, if not within like the next few years, like this is seemingly going to be, at least within the next 10, I imagine we'd see a reboot of Harry Potter. And it's something I'm actually incredibly open to, because I'm just like passionate about the franchise in general. I love the books. I'll always love the movies. Of course, I love the original cast, but I really do strongly believe in the potential of a series based on the books. Mm-hmm. And originally, I'd imagine there was a rumor for a while that they do an original cast of characters with an original story just taking place at Hogwarts, which I would also love to see, maybe even more so than seeing the books brought to life again.
Yeah.
But that being said, I love the book so much, and them having theoretically 8 to 10 episodes to breathe is probably going to make the original movies feel like speedruns after the series comes out, which doesn't ruin the movies for me. I love the movies, but I'm really excited to see where this goes. I assume with J.K. Rowling involved, it's going to do well. They'll probably make some choices that will surprise us, I imagine. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see who they cast. My biggest hopes for it are, and the only thing I'm concerned about so far is that when they officially revealed this, they used John Williams' score and the original Harry Potter logo from the movie.
Yeah.
Which kind of bugged me a little bit because I feel like that's relying too heavily on what's come before. I think the logo's fine because that's the same logo that's on like the American books at least. But I hope that the music's original. I hope that the castle is redesigned. And I think a fun idea I was talking to someone else about for the uniforms, like redesign everything to be original but still be true to the source material. Because on all the, at least on the original American covers of the books, all you'd see all the students wearing their robes over their normal street clothes. So it'd be like, imagine Harry in like a t-shirt and jeans and Converse, but his robe was over top of that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to like take inspiration from that original artwork and apply that to the new show.
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as I love the uniforms in the movies where they have like the ties and vests and slacks and everything, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be cool if they like took inspiration from that artwork and all the students have their normal street clothes with just their simple robe over that. Sounds kind of cool to me.
Yeah.
And if this show miraculously, if they cast actors who don't go crazy or like fall off a cliff or it's so, I feel like casting people for like the longevity is like kind of like especially risky these days.
It's tough.
Especially with the existence of social media.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a shame if they get to season 4, like Goblet of Fire season, and all of a sudden, like, they have to recast Harry because he, like, yeah. is a racist or, like, or gets hit by a car or something, you know? So,
a racist God or forbid. Gets hit by a car.
One yeah, just anything could go wrong with something that they planned this far ahead. So, hopefully it plays out and they can cast amazing actors that stick with it for the 10-year plan they have because I'm really excited to see the potential of it come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't know if I really have anything to add. I'm equally also really excited. Not really worried or anything. I think hopefully they'll do a good job of casting. I wouldn't really care if like they changed the race of somebody or did anything like that. I don't think that's that important to me. Just being sort of faithful to the books and just the retelling of the story is all I really care about. So.
Totally. I feel the exact same way. So there's a lot of cool stuff they could do creatively. Oh, and on every front.
For sure. There's a lot of things they could do in the books or from the books that weren't in the movies. So it can almost be like you're experiencing something else on the screen for the first time.
Yeah. Imagine it's there are very few shows I ever want to rewatch, but I love the idea of having 7 seasons of 7 school years that you could rewatch.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
For sure.
Because I love just existing in the world of Harry Potter. That's why I really liked a lot of my time spent in Hogwarts. And that's what I love about annually rewatching the movies is just feeling cozied up going to Hogwarts for like 7 movies or 8 movies, technically.
For sure.
So I'm excited to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. I know they're doing Twilight as well.
Twilight
being rebooted into a TV show that I unironically think has amazing potential.
It should probably be better than the movies.
Yeah, because I think the movies are goofy fun, but yeah. I feel, and I haven't even read the Twilight books. I just understand the idea behind the books and what fans of the books have talked to me about. And I believe in a series that could really be awesome based on the books and just given time to breathe as well and not be as stupid as the movies are. Because I've always thought vampires are cool and werewolves and stuff. So I'd hope they kind of dive deeper into like, I would like if they would reimagine a little bit and instead of having sparkly vampires, have more traditional vampires and make that work somehow. Maybe the werewolves aren't actual wolves, but our actual werewolves could be cool. But yeah. It's more like the horror side that I'm most interested in. But I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like
not a big Twilight fan, but I like seeing stuff. I like seeing stuff reimagined.
Yeah. I'm a low-key fan of Twilight, just the movies. I've never read the books. But
yeah, I'm down to watch the movies. They're fun to watch with friends.
I would watch it if it was like I wasn't doing anything else and it was just on, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back and watch them.
Robert Pattinson and anything. So.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the new Batman. I want to see him as Batman again, man. He's so good. I love that movie.
The latest rumor is that Clayface is going to be the main villain.
Interesting choice.
It is interesting. He hasn't been in a live action movie so far as I know. At least the Batman movies I'm familiar with.
Unless he was in an older one that I've never seen.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know how they would do that back then.
It will be interesting to see the route they go with him because the first movie is so grounded and Clayface is very much like more of a fantastical type of enemy with superpowers, essentially. So I don't know. But Clayface's character is really interesting. It's pretty tragic as well, not unlike Mr. Freeze. So potential there. I think the Penguin show will be entertaining because Colin Farrell is really good as the character. But I think the show looks ugly compared to Greg Frazier, the DP of the Batman. That movie is so beautiful to look at. And obviously they can't get him to do the TV show. And the TV show, just the trailer looked nasty. I'm sure it wasn't like a final color grade or anything. It just, it looked like a cheap TV show in comparison to like the magnitude of the film. So I'm still going to watch it because I like Colin Farrell and I want to keep up to date with that character leading up to the Batman. I love the title too, the Batman Part 2. That's perfect. So also stoked to see where that goes. I know Matt Reeves, from what I understand, is in the process, if not finalizing the script, he has finished it. And I think it was in a production later this year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's probably a 2025 movie, if I had to guess.
Still a good ways out.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, stoked for that. Where were we again? We're talking about Harry Potter.
We're talking about things that we're playing, I think.
Yeah. What else have you been playing?
Besides that, playing a little bit of WoW. New season will start, or the new patch in Dragonflight will start next Tuesday. So lots of new content coming out. Going to kill some dragons. Going to do some dungeons. Going to clear the raid on the highest difficulty because I'm in a mythic raiding guild now. And
what does that mean?
I'm going to get the best gear in the game. That's all there is to it.
I mean, what's a mythic guild?
Okay, so there are four difficulties of the raid, Garrett. You got the looking for raid difficulty, which is the only version that you can queue into. Like, imagine you're queuing into a match of Call of Duty. Like, you click a button and it matches you into a raid group of 39 other people, basically. And
these you are just raid random with that people. Many people?
Yeah. Wow. In that mode, yeah. Then there's the second tier up is normal mode. That's like the baseline raid experience. Like it's not too hard. It drops decent gear and it's for people to sort of start out with when they're jumping into raiding. Like once you meet people that you want to raid with, like you join a new guild, you start out normal because it's, you know, the way to feel everybody out. So not too hard of a challenge. It's, you know, it's a good testing ground. Next tier up from that is heroic difficulty, Garrett. This is where most people sort of experience the game that are in like guilds and stuff that are, you know, that would consider themselves raiders. They would usually tell you that they do heroic version, and heroic's kind of a challenge. It's what I did for a long time, you know, with my guild. And it's, you know, you can go through, clear it every week, you get pretty decent gear. It's not the best gear in the game, but it's good enough to do any content in the game for the most part. And then you got mythic difficulty. And so mythic difficulty, there can only be 20 people and only 20 people. And once you join the group, you're locked to that group's progress. So like, say, you know, you clear four bosses and you come back another night and one person can't come for whatever reason. They just can't make it. So you're left with 19. It's really hard to find a random person to cover that spot because they'll be saved to the bosses that you've already killed and they won't get any loot. So it's kind of hard to, like, mythic guildings or mythic raiding is kind of like just, you know, it's hardcore. Like, people got to be committed. They got to show up. And it's kind of like every week you're trying to progress and work through the raid because it's really difficult. Like, they tune the bosses to be challenging. They add extra mechanics for every difficulty you go up. And mythic is the highest tier, so it's going to be the hardest to actually defeat. So it's like, personally, it's been really fun to just climb the ladder as I've been playing the game for the last couple, actually few years now that I've started to replay it. And, you know, I've joined this new guild over the last year and it's a mythic raiding guild. So it's just been cool to kind of just experience that because I've never played the game at this tier or this difficulty, basically. So I'm getting the best gear in the game and then, and that's allowing me to do like more damage and do higher tiers of content. So it's been fun.
Nice. Why'd you wait so long to join a mythic guild? You have to be invited?
I mean, yeah, you got to find a guild. And
that kind of stuff. How'd you find them?
So I think I'm going to mention, but me and four other buddies quit our old guild because we were just sick of people not playing the game with us. Like, no one would ever log on besides for raid. So, like, we would be on one night and no one would be on at all besides us four. It would just be us playing, doing dungeons all the time. Everyone else would just be, you know, off doing whatever, which, you know, more power to them. But we wanted to, like, we wanted to find other people that were enjoying the game as much as we were. So, and then we wanted to try out Mythic Raiding just because we felt like we were good enough to do it. And we just wanted to try it. And we just happened to find a good group of people that are also pretty good at the game. So.
That's cool.
It's been fun.
Yeah, you commenting about the people that weren't wanting to log on reminds me of that meme that's been floating around, and that the guy, and we're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, me? Just hanging around. That sort of reminds me of.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, it's so good. Man, well, congrats on your mythic questing, man. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a raiding, Garrett. Mythic raiding.
Excuse me. Mythic.
Are you kidding me?
I think Mythic Quest is the name of another, like, probably mobile game or something.
Yeah, it's something like
that. You've been playing a lot of Mythic Quest on mobile.
But besides that, I've been watching a lot of anime, too, and TV. One TV show that I'll mention. I caught up on One Piece, Garrett. I'm all the way caught up.
That's crazy, bro. How do you have? Do you just watch it like whenever you're eating? I'm assuming
that's
right?
What I did.
That's when you like to watch it.
Yeah.
That's amazing multitasking, dude. I can never watch anime and eat at the same time. It's impossible for me.
It's so easy.
Because I just can't. Because I don't know. It's just too distracting for me. I gotta be locked in on anime to like really.
You gotta read the subtitles and look down your plate, take a bite, look back up.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like I'm already having to work my eyes a lot to read subtitles and also enjoy the animation simultaneously. Then when you factor in food, you're bouncing all over the place. It's like you're going to the gym or something just to watch anime when you factor in food at that point.
Yams is barking at me.
No, Yams. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe
you're probably one of the few that started so late and caught up.
Oh, probably not. It's a very popular
That's hundreds
show.
Of episodes, right?
It's over 1,000.
Jacob, that is unbelievable, bro.
I mean, I started it over a year ago.
Oh my gosh, dude. Holy crap.
Yeah,
I'm caught up on Attack on Titan.
Me too.
Yeah. But that's only like 80 something episodes.
Yeah. Oh, and guess 80 what?
Very high quality episodes too.
It's very good show. Did you watch like the opener to this new season?
Yeah, it's like final chapter, final season,
epilogue.
Yeah. Whatever it is. It's like an hour long, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know when the next one's coming out. I don't know what's going on.
I think it's coming out in the fall, from what I understand. Dude, they are dragging that show on. Just
what are they doing?
I understand it's like crazy to animate that show. Yeah. But goodness gracious, dude, it's taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've been talking about the final season for 3 years.
Yep.
So that's ridiculous.
So a few others. So the new season of Demon Slayer just came out. I think there's 3 or 4 episodes now. If you didn't know that, you should go back and watch that, because I love that. I think that might be my favorite anime.
I have so many people saying that to me recently.
Have you ever watched Demon Slayer?
I've seen the first 2 or 3 episodes. Dude, yeah,
it is so good. You're doing yourself a disfavor or a disservice by not watching that show. Like, it'll blow your mind how good it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I just got to give it more time, because it starts off to me like most other anime. It's just like epic battles and like you're the chosen one and you got to be a hero and stuff. It's like I've seen this a million times.
Yeah, it's just the animation. It is so freaking cool.
Mm-hmm. Like I know My Hero is apparently doing really well, too. I just was so confused where I left off on Crunchyroll that I was just lost when I started it. So I got to figure that out, too.
Yeah, I'm caught up on that one. It's new season just ended.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot.
Really working
I'm watching Dr. Stone. I'm caught up on that.
It's in where do you fit all this? This is why I never see you. You're watching anime all night.
It's just like when I eat meals, I watch a show. I never watch it otherwise. It's only when I eat.
Man, I don't know how I would have that much time to watch anime. I'd like to. I only ever watch most of my shows as I'm falling asleep at night. Yeah, so
I feel that. What else? Oh, did I watch through Death Note? I watched Death Note.
Oh, Death Note's awesome, dude.
It's incredible.
I love that series.
I love Death Note. I didn't realize what
we're
I was
talking about.
A
live action show, right?
I'm gonna walk away right now. I mean, kidding. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's bad.
Anime is outstanding. That's as funny as that the live action show is what got me to watch. It's actually a movie is what got me to watch the anime, because I always knew Death Note was very famous and pretty mainstream in anime. But watch the movie, and I was like, that was okay. I was like, the premise of it still intrigued me. So I ended up watching the anime and was like hooked on that show, dude. I was addicted to it the whole time I watched it.
Yeah, that's how I was. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Dude, like, we won't spoil it, obviously, but the way that show concludes hit me like a freaking train, dude. Because you just, the tension just building for so many episodes, dude. Yeah. And it's almost like this part of you, it's like you want him to get away with it. Mm-hmm. And the way it all comes together is just crazy.
Yep.
Great show.
Yeah, it's an incredible show. It's one of my favorites, too. And I think that's all. Oh, I've been watching, I started Euphoria on HBO Max.
Euphoria?
What's it called? I messed it
of
up.
Of all the shows to watch, you pick Euphoria?
What's wrong with it?
That show's a mess, dude.
I've heard that it's good.
I mean, there's aspects of it. There's a lot to... I've seen the first few episodes, I think. It's appealing to me just from like a cinematography and lighting and production standpoint. Yeah, but
that's why I like it.
Just the bits and pieces I've seen of it memed on the internet over the last couple of years is just ridiculous. But I know a lot of people like it, but... I won't judge you, Jacob. Enjoy what you want to enjoy.
Well, you've already judged me. It's too late. But I'm enjoying it. I've watched two episodes, and I think it's very interesting. And it's entertaining. Okay.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts when you get to the end. I think there's only three seasons.
Okay. I didn't realize
what I understand, it's probably not coming back, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, problems with the cast and director and writers and stuff.
Oh.
We'll see.
Well, I think that's all I've really got to report.
We saw the Mario movie together.
Oh, yeah, we did. I forgot about that. That was a good movie.
I really liked it, too, man. I was thoroughly entertained. Had a great time.
Yeah.
So it was honestly like everything I imagined it would be upon seeing the trailer.
You thought Jack Black was going to be breaking out into solo?
That actually surprised me, if I'm being honest. I didn't expect full-blown Jack Black as Bowser, but I really loved him as Bowser. And, the singing and everything was great.
Yeah, I'm glad they let him sing.
Yeah, I thought Chris Pratt was great. Yep. Charlie Day, awesome. I also liked Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in the same boat with a lot of people that say Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong is fine. He just didn't really blow my mind or anything.
It wasn't anything crazy.
I don't know why. What made me laugh some of the hardest in the movie is that right when they arrive to the Kong Kingdom and that guy in the ape in the white suit opens the door, is like, hop in my car with me, and they go on that track to like the palace, I guess, dude. Something about that ape's expression just being deadpan while he's flying around this track like his posture in that cart because he's so huge is just so funny to me every time I think about it. But yeah, I loved watching that movie. It was especially fun because like obviously you and I went together on opening night, but there's like a bunch of families and like little kids just having the time of their lives watching the movie. So yeah, it was just a very joyful experience.
Yeah. I think like a couple seats down from us, there was like a dad and his children there watching it. The dad was laughing just as much as the kids were. So
yeah,
it was kind of wholesome in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I'm excited for any future Mario movies they make.
Totally. I was hoping for a little more Yoshi. I'm glad they tease Yoshi at the end, but I was hoping for a little more. Yoshi has a special place in my heart. Yeah, look forward to Mario sequels, any spinoffs from that. And I think Nintendo obviously has seen the true success of their franchise in Hollywood now. And so is Hollywood taking notice. So I think we will inevitably see more Nintendo movies. I would straight up love to see Nintendo Cinematic Universe. As generic as it sounds, I'd love to see like a great Zelda movie. I'd love to see a Metroid movie. Of course, we have Mario. Maybe they'll do a Donkey Kong movie. Any other spinoffs they want to do that eventually culminate in Super Smash Bros. As a movie. Yeah. You'd have to have a protagonist, I think, to make that work. Kind of like Avengers. It couldn't be like Space Jam Legacy, where it's just an absolute mess of references and everything. But it'd be cool to have an actual tournament. Kind of like the, I like to think of the Tower arc from, what's that show? Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
The tower arc. But imagine it's Super Smash Bros. Where they're like these one or two characters fighting through the tournament. Could be pretty cool. You could have so much fun with that.
Yeah.
But so much potential for movies. And the only movie, I've heard people go back and forth like, should they do any live action stuff? I think the only movie that could be really cool as live action is Metroid. But I'd also like to just see a Metroid movie in the same animation. They could do a different animation styles depending on who's working on it. But I think just all animation for Nintendo movies would be cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think doing live action's unnecessary right now.
Same.
I would say if you're going to like establish other franchises in a movie, I would do it animated first and then maybe think about live action.
Yeah. Plus, I think most video game adaptations I've seen are always better in some form of animation versus live action. As much as I like The Last of Us, everything else I've seen that's been animated, although Castlevania is loosely based on the source material of the game, like Castlevania is phenomenal, Arcane, although I've never played League of Legends, incredible, Mario movie, great. I know there's more in there I'm forgetting. But
the Warcraft movie, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd still be open to a sequel to that. And I remember seeing that with you all those years ago.
It's never
going to
happen.
Yeah. At least it was made, though. It's kind of a miracle it was made in the first place.
It was. Yeah, it almost didn't get made. It almost got canceled.
Yeah. I can't think of any other movies that are notable that I've seen. I'm dying to see Evil Dead Rise, dude. I love Evil Dead. I love all the Evil Dead movies, even the originals. So I've heard great things about Evil Dead Rise too. And I haven't had time to go see it. I could probably see it one night this week, I think, but I got to find someone to go with me. Cause it's like hardcore horror and like most people aren't down for that. Yeah. So to me, I'm just like stoked for that. But most people I've mentioned it to are like, oh, wow, scary. Like, I don't know if I want to see that. Like, all right. But, just throwing that out there, just throwing a line out there, Jacob, to see if I'll really in.
Depends what night it is. I would perhaps be down.
Okay.
Maybe take me out for some food.
Of course.
Before or afterwards.
Down for that with you. What else we need to talk about?
What else have you been playing?
I've played a couple of things. I mentioned Resident Evil. Cannot wait to go back to that. I might be able to squeeze in a little bit more before Zelda. So excited for Zelda, dude. Holy crap, this preview's got me fired up.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I guess the main thing I've played apart from Resident Evil is I just reviewed Jedi Survivor for COD Connected. The embargo lifted as of today, April 26th. So I can talk about it. I won't spoil anything, obviously, but if you want, just like, I'm not going to spend too much time, but if you want to like watch my review, it's on COG's YouTube channel. Go in depth on everything about it, but really, really love the game. I think it's outstanding. It would have been a 9 out of 10 had it not been for the pretty bad performance on PS5. Apparently, that's across the board. And Preston sent me a text earlier, said he's reading it's even worse on PC, which really surprised me because I previewed the game at a preview event prior to the game's release a few weeks before on PC, a pretty strong PC. And the game really mainly struggles on this main planet called Kobo. It's the main hub world of the game. It's gigantic. It's basically a full-blown open world. That's how big it is. And even at the preview event, it was mostly smooth, but there were areas where I was dropping frames at the preview event. And one of my buddies who was at that event, I was talking to him. I was like, were you dropping frames? He's like, yeah. I was like, man, maybe they'll have that cleaned up by release. Like, they'll clean that up. So I reviewed the game on PS5, and thankfully, like most modern console games, there's a quality 4K 30 FPS mode and there's a performance mode that targets quote unquote higher frame rates. And it does not nail the higher frame rates, hardly ever, really? Unfortunately. And now in smaller areas, it's buttery smooth 60 FPS, but the resolution fluctuates dramatically in a lot of areas and it rarely ever is locked at 60. You're pushing at best 40 most of the time. And at worst, dude, this is not an exaggeration. I was hitting like 20 FPS in some areas. So thankfully, it's not game breaking. It's just highly distracting. And it's just the performance was so inconsistent. That's like all my mind was thinking about the whole time. So apart from that, everything else about it is completely outstanding. It is night and day, bigger and better than the first game in every single way.
That's cool.
All the fighting lightsaber stances are sick. There's so many dynamic ways to mix and match them. There's skill trees for each one. And once you get your muscle memory down, so much fun to fight all the different enemy types with all the lightsaber stances. That's been, I'm still enjoying that. I've played the game for over 30 hours. Still enjoying that.
I got a quick question.
Yeah.
How was the blaster? Is it like a stance or is it just something?
Dude, that's my favorite stance by far. It's okay. So sick.
Tell me about that.
So this is how it works. So it's kind of a mix of, it's kind of Bloodborne-y. So imagine like your blunderbuss in Bloodborne, where you almost like someone's coming to attack, you can blast them back with it if you time it right. Mm-hmm. So the blaster does several things. It fires standard shots, and it locks on automatically like a Bloodborne weapon would.
Okay.
And that really, if it doesn't kill like a cannon fodder stormtrooper instantly, it breaks down the shields of whoever you're shooting at. So from a distance, you can break down shields. Another thing it does is there's one upgrade you can get that I mentioned, kind of the Bloodborne aspect. If someone comes in for an attack, instead of parrying with your, because you hold a lightsaber at the same time with a blaster, which is even cooler. So you can parry with your lightsaber, but there's this one upgrade where you can use your blaster instead and blast someone back and they'll fly backwards.
That's cool.
You can also change the shot type, which is the power up of your blaster. And my favorite one's called Ricochet. So you put the ricochet bolt into your blaster, and what it does is you charge it up and fire it, and it ricochets between multiple enemies and usually kills them on impact.
Yeah.
And it's just so sick to like blast a couple of guys with your blaster, then like cut down other guys. Mm-hmm. And the way you reload your blaster is you'll fire all your shots, and all you have to do is just hit guys with your lightsaber to reload it.
That's awesome.
And there's one power up you can do that does like these quick jabs on a guy, and it doesn't really deal much damage, but it reloads your pistol really quickly. And all the animations are so dope with the handgun. You'll finish killing guys, and Cal will always do like a cool animation to turn off his lightsaber and put it away. But with the blaster, he'll like spin the lightsaber in one hand and the blaster in the other and holster both at the same time.
That's cool.
All the animations are dope in the game.
That's awesome.
But really sick finishers for all the lightsaber stances, especially the blaster. What's cool is that you can, of course, customize your lightsaber like in the first game. Way more customization for that. You can also do the same with the blaster, which I somehow like didn't even think of before the game came out. So when I started playing the game and I realized you can customize your blaster, that really got me fired up because there's so many different variations and parts to find. That kind of segues me into the exploration side. All the planets, there's two really big ones that are your main hub worlds that are packed full of a billion things to find that include like hairstyles for Cal, beards, jackets, shirts, pants. You can mix and match all of it. All of it has different colors. So really no two Cals in anyone's playthrough could theoretically look exactly the same because there's so many different combinations. So customization's way broader in this one. And I like that a lot of these planets are just very intricately and thoughtfully designed. And you can tell the way, because it's kind of Dark Souls-y still in a lot of these games, or a lot of these planets. So they're very intricate, and like you can't go through this door, you got to open it from a different path. So they're just very thoughtfully designed. And a lot of the things you find when exploring, you feel rewarded by, because there's like these really fun traversal puzzles you got to solve, or like force puzzles that make once you get to the item you were going after, just all the more rewarding when you get it. They got the little they're called meditation chambers. They're kind of like shrines in Zelda. They're only on one planet. There's probably like 15 or 20 of them, but those are all very, think shrines like Zelda. You just use your force abilities, and like they're all physics based, so they're pretty interesting to figure out.
Yeah.
There's also force tears. They're completely dynamic. So you'll go into one and it's like a combat challenge in this like force arena where, for example, in my review, I talked about, I had to fight two Rancors at one time. That was cool. But my favorite ones are the traversal force tears, where you have to do these crazy sequences of traversing between wall running and using the force to dash through these force fields and using your grapple hook. It's a lot of fun in the game as well. So I'm kind of like broad stroking over all the things in the game, but apart from the story, which I'm just going to leave out entirely, just for the sake of spoiler, because there's a lot to spoil in the game, the gameplay was super fun the entire time. I was never bored for a second with the gameplay. So they really nailed that. They're really the negative is that it just doesn't perform consistently on really any platform right now. And they even released a day zero patch. I'm not kidding. Less than 24 hours before the embargo went up for reviews, which really frustrated me. And I actually read a couple of other reviews today of people saying that reviewing nowadays is just very bizarre because the timing can be strange. Like you review an entire game. I played this game for 28 hours before this patch came out. And it comes out the day before the embargo. I'm like, do I review the game I've been playing for 28 hours or the game that I'm playing now?
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, I didn't have to heavily revise my review because even the patch afterwards, some ways there were more bugs than before. And then other ways it was slightly better.
Yeah.
And I really, and again, I don't understand game development. I don't know if it was a quick patch and just they were hoping it would improve performance. It was supposed to. But it didn't nearly, it didn't improve it nearly as much as it needs to, unfortunately. But again, not game breaking, doesn't ruin the game. It's just distracting and kind of a bummer. But if you can get through that aspect of it, everything else about it is incredible. And I highly recommend playing it if you like the first one.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the first one. So I'm considering it, but I don't know for sure because I am going to be playing a lot of WoW the new season, so we'll see.
Yeah, plus Zelda's right around the corner
and Zelda's coming out, so what time I'm not gonna be playing WoW, I'm gonna be playing Zelda. So
yeah, that's one of the main reasons I chose to review it. I haven't reviewed games in a while, but I said yes to the opportunity because one, I did do the preview event, I did review the first game for COG, that was part of it, but I just happened to have a few days where I wasn't working as much as normal. Mm-hmm. So I had that window, and I also had the thought, I'm like, well, realistically, by the time the game launches, I won't have nearly as much time to play. And I know Zelda's coming out soon after. And I didn't really want to have to either. I guess I did rush through it for the review, but still playing it. I have a little extra room to play it now before Zelda comes out to do any extra stuff I want to do. So I really just wanted to open up that window for Zelda when it comes out, because I know that game's going to consume my life for a while.
Yeah.
At least all of May is going to consume my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I was kind of just kind of lukewarm on it. I knew it was probably going to be pretty good, but once they start showing gameplay, like I got really, really excited for it.
Yeah, let's talk about that while we're on it.
Okay.
So you've seen some of the preview stuff that came out today. What'd mm-hmm. you think?
That was pretty cool. I saw a lot of the, what is it? Is it called Modify or is it Fuse?
Whatever. A bunch of different abilities. I can't remember the names of all of it, but just really exploring the sandbox possibilities with the abilities that you have.
Yeah, I love
seeing. They're
pretty wild. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And there's just so many ways you can fuse. Like, there's so many resources that just you find all over the grounds and like just draw from enemies, and you can just fuse them all to weapons. You can craft all these vehicles basically and just fly up in the air, or like drive a car. Like there's just so much, or, you know, make a like an engine boat or something like that. You can just do so much cool stuff to traverse to different areas of the game that you want to go. And it's just, I can just imagine the endless possibilities of seeing a place that I want to go to and then trying to find things around me to help me get to that place that doesn't seem like I can get there right now. But if I just be a little creative and, you know, use my imagination and the resources around me, perhaps I can get there. So just that idea alone makes me really excited. And just seeing like all the stuff in the sky and the skydiving from those islands down back down to the world, like it just seems like a lot of fun. And then like they showed sort of like I think the last trailer that came out got me even more pumped, because we saw like Ganon, or what we think was Ganon. I'm assuming. That trailer like really, really got me hyped. It was a good trailer. So, I mean, I wonder if there's going to be like a bunch of shrines in this game. I haven't really been paying attention as much as I should, but it'd be cool if there were a lot of shrines to go see again.
Yeah, I haven't heard of shrines. I know the rumors that there's supposed to be dungeons or temples, kind of like traditional Zelda, that okay. I'm assuming, of course, will take advantage of all the abilities that you have. Maybe you acquire these series of abilities in temples. I don't know. That'd be more Zelda-like. Mm-hmm. Preston can probably obviously provide a lot more context to this. He's more heavily rooted in not only info in this game, but Zelda lore in general. But I love, just from a broad perspective, is that they've clearly dug so deep into the sandbox possibilities. You think about Breath of the Wild already had a pretty interesting sandbox. And I've been fascinated that years later, we still see unbelievably insane clips that pop up on YouTube and Twitter. People just doing the craziest things.
Yeah.
And that's in Breath of the Wild, dude. Just seeing what little I've seen so far in Tears of the Kingdom, we're going to see ridiculous things happen, not only between just the traversal aspects of what you can do, but also the combat scenarios. And it's cool that I watched a Skill Ups preview, and I like that in combat, you can really take advantage of every single resource you found. Like, you think of the one, like, you attach an eyeball to your arrow, it'll be a homing missile because mm-hmm. of that. And then all the different jellies and stuff have different, like, ice and fire and electricity, and all that was just fascinating to me.
You can attach a giant spiky ball that's, like, rolling down towards you to your weapon and make, like, a club.
Yeah, and like the reverse time aspect ability where you can do that. Like, there's just so many crazy things that players are going to discover. And that's what I'm most excited about, is that I think that's the reason why Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring are recently often in the same conversation, is they're both, those games open these doors for you to just be truly free in an open world. You don't feel locked down for different reasons, but especially in Tears of the Kingdom, there's just so many things that people are going to discover that I feel like even years after release, like with Breath of the Wild, we're just going to keep seeing amazing things. So very, very excited for that. And I think I've definitely seen enough. Even the initial gameplay preview, like, I was already sold, of course.
Yeah.
But especially after these previews, man, I am so, so excited for that. And I'm just going to let myself enjoy it all month of May, because I know we got Final Fantasy Diablo coming in the summer as well.
Dude, Final Fantasy 16 also looks so cool.
Yeah. I've also, like, held off from watching as little as possible about that.
Did you watch the State of Play?
And I intentionally only watched like 10 seconds of it, because trust me, dude, I know it looks amazing. I want as much of it to be a surprise as possible, because okay. I think it looks incredible.
So you're going to play it?
Oh, absolutely,
okay,
dude.
Okay.
It looks so much better and more interesting than Final Fantasy 15, dude.
I totally agree.
I've felt better over the years, because I knew I wasn't the only one who didn't love Final Fantasy 15, and there are more like me out there. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but like 16 makes 15 look like a joke.
Yeah, it was all right.
So, very excited for 16.
Yeah. Well, I got what's his face from Final Fantasy 14. That's why it's good. I forgot his name. Yeah. Yoshida.
Mm-hmm. And the combat looks so gnarly, dude. So sick. Can't wait for that. You and I played a bit of the Diablo beta together, didn't we? A few weeks ago. Oh, we played separate and just talked about it. No, we didn't. I barely played it. I played it for like half an hour because I had to go to work or something that day, but I'm very excited for that as well. Yeah. I know Preston's excited for it too.
Really? I didn't know he was going
to
play.
We really need to make the time at least two or three nights out of the week minimum, like we did back in the day, to just play for a couple hours at least.
Dude, I have a laptop that I could just bring over to your place.
Dude,
I could play with you.
Let's do it. 100%.
Let's dim the lights. Get a candle
going.
Yes,
dude. I got my lights dimmed right now. I'm in tavern mode right now, dude. I'm ready.
You are.
Heck yeah, dude.
But yeah, I also so played the beta a little bit. I didn't play there were two weekends. There was one for like if you pre-ordered. Then the other was just the free weekend. So I played the second weekend and I played Rogue all the way up to 25, I think was the max. Tried the world boss. I got my ass kicked. We didn't kill it. Mm-hmm. I was with a bunch of, I mean, I died a lot too, but it was just a shit show, basically. The leveling experience was pretty cool. The game's very just visceral and just dark and gruesome.
Love that.
It's awesome. This looks like a hopeless world, and I'm having a lot of fun just destroying demons in this tragic, dark world. It's great. I tried out Necromancer too. That class is just OP as hell. Like I could kill everything in just a few casts compared to like my Rogue that, you know, I actually had to like hit enemies and run back so I don't get, you know, meleeed to death. And you have to be a lot more clever on the Rogue just because you're a little more squishy. But on Necromancer, you just have your minions charge at everything and you know, nothing ever touches you. It's great.
That's what I played as was Necromancer.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
How high did you get? How many levels?
I can't remember. Okay. But I only played for like 30, 45 minutes.
Okay, so probably not very far.
Yeah.
Yeah, Necromancer is probably my second favorite. And then I also tried the wizard, the sorcerer. And that one's also OP. You're like flame hydras. Like you throw that thing down and it just kills everything. It's ridiculous. It was so overpowered. Easily probably the class that does the most damage so far. But I'm sure they'll tune everything and make it good. But from what I heard, it seemed like the druid and the barbarian were both pretty weak. So we'll see if that changes. But I didn't really, I mean, sometimes I play barbs in Diablo, but I don't know. I just really don't feel like playing a barb. Like they added the class that I wanted the most, which is the rogue instead of like a monk. So that's my class fantasy right there. So that's what I'll be playing on day one.
And I've always enjoyed support characters in games like this. I definitely want to play a support type class. Necromancer is more support mostly, right?
Not really. I know they can really deal
a lot of damage, but
yeah.
I like crowd controlling and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I like Demon Slayer and Diablo 3, like shooting up my arrow volleys and stuff and hitting crowds from a distance and everything. Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rogue can kind of be like that in this game. You can spec into ranged or melee.
Nice.
So you can either.
I know you're a rogue guy though. You're gonna go rogue main playthrough, right?
Yeah, I don't want us to play. Who cares?
I don't want to play the same thing. I want our party to be diverse.
Okay.
Play styles.
What's Preston gonna play?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm so open to whatever that I'll let Preston do what he wants and I'll pick based off that.
I bet he'll play sorcerer if I had to guess. That seems like what he would want to play.
Yeah. I don't remember what he played in Diablo 3.
I think he played Sorcerer.
Okay, interesting. All right.
I think you played Demon Hunter and I played Barb back in the day.
Good times. Yeah, dude.
The game looks really good. And they've had like several developer like chats and stuff, and they've done stuff with the community. So they seem to be like listening to feedback, and you know, they really want this game to do well. So they make money. So
absolutely.
And I'll probably pre-order like the whatever version I need to play it 4 days early. So I'm really excited.
I didn't know they're doing that.
Cool. Yeah, it might be like the $70 or the $80 or the $90 version. I can't remember.
Oof.
Yeah, it's
I think at most I'd spend $80 to play early.
Okay, well, you're just that's not as excited like I am. That's what it is.
I've been buying a lot of deluxe editions. I bought the deluxe of Harry Potter. I bought deluxe of RE. If it's a game I'm like really know I'm going to be passionate about, I'll go deluxe for sure.
Yeah, you got to get that Punisher early. I hear you. Yeah, I don't buy deluxes anymore. Only for like Blizzard games. I'm such a fanboy.
I know I'll buy the deluxe of Spider-Man inevitably. I will buy the deluxe of what else is coming out later this year? I'm forgetting.
It's a good question.
I've heard that Sony's next showcase is supposed to just destroy everything, which I'm actually not surprised to hear if that rumor is true, because they've been quiet for so long, which just makes, I know Sony's like been kind of goofy with Jim Ryan and like the whole Microsoft things made him look a little silly, but I think Sony as a brand has always just seemed cool since the PS4 era, is because they're like, they aren't very loud. They take their time with all their games. Most of their games launch in a great state. Mm-hmm. Most of their games are great. And they just like take their time. And like they bailed on E3 before anyone else, which makes them cooler, I think. They're like, we're too good for this now. Like, we're not so paying cool for this. Yeah. So Sony is just, and especially because Microsoft's such in a bizarre place now, it just makes Sony look cooler.
Yeah.
Hashtag not fanboys, by the way. But they're just on a good track. PS5 selling very well. It's finally available in stores. PSVR2 is a different story. We'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. But PlayStation 5 is in a good place, and I just can't wait to see like everything. I'd like to see it like a decent slate of like at least 4 or 5 first party titles that are coming between Spider-Man 2 later this year and through 2024.
Is Spider-Man 2 coming out this year?
I still have a gut feeling it will. I really think it will.
Wow. That'd be a crazy winter title.
Yeah. And mark my words, I've said it before, that game is going to blow people's minds. It's going to make the first game look like nothing, dude.
Yeah.
I get this feeling when I play games, dude. It's like the developers figure it out by the end of the development cycle. And there's evidence of that in Miles Morales, because Miles Morales, from a gameplay standpoint, fluidity, animation standpoint, was already better than the first game. They figured it out and they just can propel from there into the stratosphere. Like, I know it's gonna blow people's minds, dude.
I hope so.
It will.
Yeah,
very excited.
Regrettably,
to see,
I never got the platinum in Miles Morales, and I said I was going to, but I didn't. I was like 2 trophies short, but I never went back to it.
Really, really loved Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So, I think the main reason I loved it, one, gameplay was great, but Miles Morales as a character is awesome, but it also kind of gave you what Peter Parker probably went through in a different way, but like being that young kid, like taking on his Spider-Man powers and like trying to be the hero for the first time, kind of emulates the beginning of becoming Spider-Man, has made it especially enjoyable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, I don't know where, we're talking about Diablo ended up on PlayStation. Let's touch on E3 for a second. E3 was canceled again, to no one's surprise.
Oh, no.
And likely never returning, but, you know, the folks behind PAX are in control of it now and claim, like, we're going to figure this out. We're going to talk people into coming back room. Maybe we'll figure it out. I don't know. But I think the guys at Sacred Symbols say this best. They probably even said it recently, but several episodes ago, they're talking about just like E3 and like why it's canceled. They'll say it much better than I will, but it makes total sense because it's so astronomically expensive for just even a single publisher to attend and like do the whole show floor thing. And the presentation is just crazy expensive. It just makes so much more sense in the digital age to do their showcases online. It's not nearly as hype or as exciting, so you're not there with a crowd, but, and I will always miss E3, and I'm so, so grateful that COG invited me to go the last two relatively real E3s were 2017, 2018, because 2019 is when Sony bailed.
Mm-hmm.
So the last two E3s Sony ever attended, I got to attend, which is such a gift and privilege, and I'm so thankful for. Because those two E3s, man, were unbelievable for me, because obviously it was a dream come true, but everything else, even outside of the reveals, was just so much fun. And I get why so many games journalists and influencers that have been many more times than I have, like, kind of mourn the loss of it, because the experiences you have there are just like unlike anything else. Out of all the preview events I've been able to attend, all the review events, like, E3 was king by far.
It was just such a fun time to be a video game fan. Like, there was nothing like just forgetting all of your responsibilities for a few days and just getting together.
We went hard on our YouTube channel with E3 too.
That's how we kind of started.
I think it was 2015 and 16. We went super hard with coverage.
Yep.
Didn't get any much traction from it, but we enjoyed doing
it. It was still fun. Still had some good food and got hyped about some previews.
Yeah, the most emotional, I wish I'd recorded it, dude. The most emotional I've ever seen Preston, likely will ever see Preston in his lifetime, was the full reveal of Spider-Man on PS4 back in the day.
He probably won't even cry like that when he has it, when his baby's born, you know?
Exactly. That's the joke I've always made. Like, I can't, because I've known Preston for the majority of my life now, and I've never even seen him come close to being that emotional about anything ever. Like, it shocked me.
It shocked everybody. Nobody knew that was coming.
Yeah, dude.
I couldn't believe it either.
So, man, such memories. And that really can't be emulated without stuff being revealed at E3, you know? So, I mean, digital events, one thing, but E3 is different.
Yeah, yeah, I will. Shame. I will miss those live shows so much. They were so cool. Mm-hmm. Now all we get were just these PowerPoint trailer shows.
Yeah.
A shame.
So I get it. I mean, it's quick news. Everyone's instantly informed. They save so much money. It's ridiculous.
And they can completely control everything on their end.
Yeah.
There's no cringe usually.
Things being canceled. Let's hop into Jason Schreier's news today that the UK, this is the headline. UK says it is blocking Microsoft's $69 billion purchase of Activision Blizzard. Microsoft says it will appeal. A lot of people are saying, I'm not going to go into too many of the details, but people are saying that it's like a death sentence for the deal at this point.
It's not good.
And there's speculation that there's another rumor recently that Microsoft is extremely dissatisfied with the Xbox division, which between that and now most likely the deal being blocked, Phil Spencer's probably out after this, unfortunately. So you think about Xbox post 360 era, because the 360 era was the golden age of Xbox. I adored the 360 era. I was all about 360, dude. And since 360, dude, it's just been a mess at Xbox. Mm-hmm. They've really like not done anything. They haven't stewarded anything well. And there's all this different talk about how obviously no one's buying Xbox games anymore because of Game Pass. Game Pass is a great service, but I've heard other people say that like once they play everything they want to play in Game Pass, they just cancel their subscription. So it's like not growing much because of that. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Game Pass, I've been able to play a lot of games for a highly reduced cost that I wouldn't have otherwise played because of it. But the Xbox Series S is kind of a mess and like hindering a lot of developers because they have to factor that into the development, and it's not great. And and just the whole like socio-political umbrella that is this Activision Blizzard deal, and it's just been crazy for the last year. And it just seemingly is going nowhere, and if it falls through, dude, that's just a catastrophe. They'll be fine. Microsoft will be fine, but I guess a reputation side and financial side, they're taking a hit, and people will have to take the fall for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
it just seems like all these Xbox games have taken so long to come out. Like, we're still waiting on all of these like exclusive titles.
I don't know what to think about Redfall either, because I love Arcane, and there's been bits and pieces of Redfall that have intrigued me, but most of what I've seen hasn't grabbed me yet. Mm-hmm. And they're really, because it's their first big exclusive in a while. And Arcane's a great studio. Mm-hmm. I hope it's fun. I mean, if it's going to be Game Pass day one, so I'm definitely going to try it. But
when does it drop? Do you know?
I think it's like the same week as Zelda. I think it's like 2 days before Zelda.
That's not good.
2 or 3 days. So it's going to probably get eaten alive.
Yeah,
they're
trying to kill their own game.
Yeah. So that's a problem for sure. Starfield, I hope, is awesome.
I hope
I just want to get enveloped by another Bethesda RPG, dude.
Mm-hmm. Dude, so. I was listening to the opening theme of Skyrim, and I was just like, oh my god, this song is so incredible. It is so epic. Am I ever going to feel like this again playing another Bethesda game? Like, I don't know.
I yearn for that, dude. I mean, I've had incredible experiences in other open world RPG-esque games. You think about, I think Bethesda's its own thing entirely, but Zelda, incredible memories, Elden Ring. It's probably another one in there I'm forgetting. Oh, Witcher 3, of course. Mm. But Bethesda really has that flavor that's uniquely their own that I haven't felt. And Press and I are two of the few people that really did love Fallout 4. I really love Fallout 4. Fallout 3, I remember more fondly, of course. But the Skyrim, the Fallout 3, I want that feeling again. That's so rare. And you really only get that from Bethesda. So really hoping it delivers. It's been development for a very long time. And I think they're doing a showcase for that this summer. I think in June, we're seeing more of it.
Hopefully.
So out this fall.
I'm still waiting for that hype moment from that.
Yeah.
So let's see it, Todd.
Yeah. Todd. That first demo they did was not too impressive. There were things about it that on paper sounded great, but seeing them in action didn't blow my mind just yet. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. What else we got, Jacob? What are we forgetting here?
I don't know.
I'm looking at my list here.
Talked about E3.
I think we've hit everything on my list.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. What did you think of that demo they did, that presentation? Have you seen it?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Animation, stunning. Everything else was pretty lame, if I'm being honest. It's just very much looks like a hero. I guess it's kind of a looter shooter because you're outfitting your villains, your Suicide Squad, with various weapons, a bunch of different cosmetics, I'm assuming. But that's the thing, like from a presentation standpoint, it looked very impressive. Just the gameplay looks super lame.
Mm-hmm.
Also ridden with microtransactions. So just a really poor public reception to it. And shortly thereafter, there were rumors of a delay. Now the delay is official all the way into next year.
Yeah,
not exactly sure what they're going to do, but that game has just been in development for way too long, dude. And it's just at the point where I'm like, I don't see in any world where they could potentially do anything that really salvages what that game is probably going to end up being.
Yeah, they probably really dumped so much money into it.
Oh, I know. And that's the thing, too, is that WB's like, you have to put it out. Like, you can't just outright cancel a game that's been in development that long. It's one thing if it's been like in pre-production for 3 years, or like I've heard of stories of games being in development for 4 years that don't get very far and they get canned. But this looks very far along, obviously. It just bums me out because Rocksteady is such a remarkable studio, and Arkham Knight, that I began replaying actually late last year, is such a phenomenal game, minus a few of the boss fights, a few of the side missions, and the main story was kind of dumb to me in hindsight as well, but
it was.
Most everything else about that game is excellent, and I was hoping we'd get one more Batman outing from them, because Arkham Knight was almost a masterpiece. Arkham City really is, I still think, the best game in that trilogy, but there were great, great things about Arkham Knight that they could have really expanded upon. And just imagine a current-gen Batman game. Because even, dude, Arkham Knight still looks stunning from last generation. Still looks great. So I would love to see one more outing from them. But
I know you would. You need your Batman. You're not getting your fill.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be one of the situations they put out Suicide Squad. I don't think it'll tank. It'll probably be okay. It might find an audience. But just to regain their prestige reputation, maybe they'll go back to Batman. And
I find it very hard not to believe they won't go back to Batman after this.
Yeah.
They know, like, WB knows that they can make a good Batman game. They've done it several times. And that's probably the most safest thing that they could do.
Yeah. That's kind of how I know CD Projekt Red is kind of outsourcing the Witcher remake to a different studio, if I'm not mistaken. But I know they're doing a new Witcher trilogy or working on a new Witcher game, obviously right after the Cyberpunk I guess it was more of a disaster on social media, but that game's really come along. It's in a great state now. I've played a lot of it actually off and on over the last year, and I do think it's a really awesome game, but it just launched so poorly that it just like really put a bad stain on their reputation. So
yeah, it did.
Kind of how they're going back to Witcher, I think Rocksteady will hopefully, inevitably go back to Batman after Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I've started
Cyberpunk. And we'll wait another 8 years for another Batman game. We'll be like 40 by the time a Batman game comes out.
That's so sad. Yeah, I started Cyberpunk for the third time recently, and then I quit again. Like, I just can't convince myself to keep playing that game. I don't know what it is. I'm hoping one of these days I can just be really in the mood to play it and just stick with it.
Mm-hmm. It's just I ebb and flow in my mood for that game. There have been points where I'll play for like a week or two, and then I'll take 3 months off, and then I'll come back for a few days, and then I'll take another month off. I just can't get locked into it for some reason.
There's no way I can do that because I have no idea what's going on anymore. I completely forget. So at that point, I'm just like, I guess I start over, you know?
Yeah. I think I just like existing in Night City because it runs surprisingly well on my PC and it looks pretty good. So just existing in that world is cool to me.
Speaking of Night City, that's another anime I watched with Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Oh, yeah. I watched that as well. That's great.
That's a cool ass show. I love that.
It is a cool show.
Very cool.
I love that it's like, I love that it was they may do more, but I love that it feels like it's a limited series. It's like very straightforward storytelling, great characters.
Yeah, I don't know how they would continue that story.
Yeah. I mean, you could do like different storylines in that same world, same animation.
Yeah.
But yeah, really strong series for sure.
Yeah. It's very sad in the first episode too. There might've been the second. I can't remember, but it starts off very sad.
The whole series is kind of ridden with emotion. Really, really emotional ending as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Good soundtrack too. Yeah. One song in particular.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song that I added.
That song to the video game. If it wasn't already in the game, they added it to the game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be dumb not to. Assuming they have their rights.
Right. Well, Jacob, is there anything else you want to touch on before we can jump into Ask OG? Are we forgetting something?
I don't think so, man. If we are, it's not that important. Otherwise, we'd have said it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It's been great catching up, though. I'm glad that we're playing great games currently and so many more fun games coming out. I think I have a good feeling. I probably said this a bunch over the last couple of years, but Preston has told me he's going to be in town for a few weeks soon.
Oh, really?
And I can't imagine a world where he can't hop on to do a podcast with us for an hour or and a half one day.
You think so? You actually think so?
We'll see. What's wrapped around your image on Discord?
Where? Oh, my picture?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a limited time thing you can do to your profile picture. I think it's cats.
Oh.
No, it's dogs. It's little puppies.
How'd you get it?
I don't remember. Let me look at my profile. Let's see here. Edit user profile. Oh, so go to click the cog at the bottom near your name. User settings.
Okay.
Go to my account.
Alrighty.
Then edit user profile.
Got
then
it.
It's the avatar decoration. It's a limited time customization.
Change avatar? Or change decoration.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, look at those.
Look at that, dude. not very many.
No.
That's interesting.
Oh, wait, it's exclusive to Nitro. Oh.
Is it just letting you test it and it's like, okay, you gotta unlock it with Nitro?
Yeah. I have Nitro, so.
What is Nitro?
It's just like a subscription to Discord. It unlocks other features. Allows you to have other
great
things. Allows you to like use movable, or what are they called? Like movable emotes, the ones that like move and stuff like that. It's dumb, okay? It's dumb to pay for something that's free, but I gotta support them, you know. And my guild uses it for voice.
So I hear you.
And I can change my name in different servers with Nitro too. So it's nice to like change my name to the character that I am on WoW in that server. So
for sure.
But yeah, I don't think we're missing anything.
Great. Well, that brings us to Ask IOG. Ask OG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media at It's Obvious Gaming. Emailed to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com or the, did I already say Discord? I'm not reading my script like normal. or on Discord in the Ask IOG section, and always include the hashtag #AskIOG so that we know you want your question read live on the show. And we got one, Jacob, and that's okay.
That's a big one.
Comes from 32 Speedster Sam Harris. He says, "Fellows, how you doing? It's been a while. I'm doing fairly well. I'm missing home quite a bit, but I'm sure as things get busy with my quote-unquote job, time will fly by. So I become, for the foreseeable future, exclusively a Nintendo and mobile phone gamer." Man, what a tragedy that would be for me, personally. Hey, until Zelda comes out. Yeah, until Zelda comes out. I could have gotten a gaming laptop, but I didn't feel comfortable traveling with it. Since I'm limited with my gaming options, I have been working on my backlog, specifically a certain open world adventure game that has a sequel coming out very soon. Oh, interesting. Ooh. Yeah. So here's my question. Surprising that was on your backlog. Say your favorite game of all time is getting a sequel and it looks like it improves on every aspect in every possible way. You're definitely going to play. This particular sequel is a long time coming, so you would play through the previous before the new one, or would you play through the previous before the new one releases? Is it necessary to do so, or is it better to play it blind, so to speak? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great week, gentlemen. I miss you guys. After you, Jacob.
Hold on.
And Sam, thanks for writing in, man. Thank you for writing.
I'm going to be honest, I wasn't paying attention, dude.
Okay. Your favorite game of all time is getting a sequel. What would you want in it? How does it improve on the original? And would you play the original before the sequel comes out? Like replay it?
Oh my gosh.
I got pretty vanilla answers, but are realistic.
I would definitely play through the original for sure. Wait, hold on. I don't know if I understand the question.
Your favorite game of all time is getting a sequel. What right. is it? I guess apart from WoW, World of Warcraft 2.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, I think those memes of the guy from Spider-Man, I always forget his name, where he's like the inventor of sex. Like the inventor of sex announces he's the release date for Sex 2. It's so funny.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can't, dude. Cannot. That's what we're talking about, Jake. Can you imagine a sequel to your favorite game?
I'm trying to sit here and think of what like a WoW 2 would be.
Yeah, like, I love those jokes Preston and I used to make of like the layman gamer, where all we really play ever is like Madden, Need for Speed, and like the only RPG we've ever played is Skyrim because it was so famous. Yeah. So like, oh dude, like I wonder if Skyrim 2 is gonna come out anytime soon.
Skyrim 2. Okay.
I'm going to mention something real quick, Jacob, before I forget.
Okay.
Have you seen the Unrecord gameplay that went viral?
No.
It's like the fisheye body cam camera perspective. Mm-mm. Oh, dude, it looks so sick. I think it's a small indie team, but they're developing it on Unreal Engine 5. And with all the filters and everything, it looks pretty hyper-realistic.
You should link it to me.
And yeah, it looks really, really cool. Like incredible animation with the gunplay and like the reload animations and just the body cam perspective is super unique. And supposedly the premise is you're playing as a cop trying to solve a murder mystery or something. But gameplay looks really, really cool. It's probably, I assume, still very early in development, but it just looks really impressive and the premise really intrigues me. So that game looks really cool. And there's also a horror game that I'll send you a link to that's also in development. And this is an amazing premise. I can't remember the name of it, but you play as a guy looking for his dog in the woods and it's pitch black outside. Your dog got lost in the woods. You have to find your dog, but these horrific things are in the woods and like you're searching these houses and stuff.
Yeah.
And even the first 20 seconds horrified me, dude. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd really like it.
It sounds cool.
So yeah, I'll send you links to those.
Yeah, definitely send me that. So I'm going to use like a Kingdom Hearts as an example for this question, I think. I remember when 3 was coming out and I was like trying to get myself hyped up. So I remember they released, so one of the mini games that they released in the Kingdom Hearts universe, I forgot exactly what it was called, but it was some really long and complicated name with numbers and stuff and like prologue and epilogue in the name. But I remember I played that, and then I like thought to myself, should I go back and replay every single, like at least one and two, like at least one and two, and maybe like the game that's a prequel to one, like maybe I'll play that one too. But then I just thought, do I really want to do like put all that time into replaying all these games just to like get excited or like to refresh my memory about the story going into three? And I decided not to, because I realized I could just watch a recap video on YouTube. So that's exactly what I did. And I got myself refreshed with the story. And that's not to say I don't enjoy those games. It's just that as I've gotten a little older now, my time has become so just short for the time that I have to play games, or the time that I want to play games. So I just made the decision that, you know what, I'm just going to watch the story, embrace it that way, and then be ready to jump into three, which is what I did. And I was still streaming back then, so I streamed the whole game, which was fun. But to answer Sam's question, I don't think you necessarily need to play through all the the games that came before the new one that's coming out. I mean, if it was like a case where I've never played Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom was coming out, I don't think there's a world where I wouldn't play Breath of the Wild first. I probably would have played it like months in advance, because I think you'd be, there's a probably a pretty good chance that you might be a little burnt out on just going from Breath of the Wild to Tears of the Kingdom, because that's a lot of just the same thing. Or a lot, not only is it just the same engine and game world, but you might, there's a chance that you might just get kind of, everything might become a little monotonous. Not to say that it definitely would, because there's a lot of variety in Breath of the Wild, and then going into Tears of the Kingdom, it's they're really expanding on a lot of the systems. So I really don't think there's any bad way to go about this problem or this question. I mean, if you have the time and you feel passionate enough to want to replay through all the games that came before a new sequel coming out, I think that's cool. But also, if you just want to, you know, get some stuff done that you might need to get done while the game's coming out or while it's out, if you can get that done early so you have more time to play the game when it comes out, maybe you should spend your time doing that. I don't know. So you can go about it either way, I think. How do you want to answer this question?
favorite games getting a sequel. One of my favorite games was Arkham City. It got a sequel that I mostly liked. I was just talking about it. Yeah. I'd like to see a follow-up to Arkham Knight. It doesn't really have to be a continuation of that story, but just another Batman game from Rocksteady I would really love.
You're really getting Kill the Justice League.
Yeah, totally.
Is that not good enough?
Same universe. Same Arkham universe. Favorite games getting a sequel. I don't think Hunt Showdown really needs a sequel. I do love that game.
Yeah, when was the last time you played Hunt?
It's been a while. It's probably been about 6 months.
Was it the last time you played with me?
No, I played since then. Spider-Man's getting a sequel. I love that game.
That's a good one.
I would love a Halo game that isn't... Halo Infinite doesn't suck. It's just kind of not amazing. So I'd love another amazing Halo game, which could be coming from Certain Affinity, hopefully in the near future.
It's not a must-need. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say it's a must need, but it is a desire I'd love to have fulfilled.
Okay.
Is another amazing Halo game that's kind of beloved by all. So
I don't know if we'll get another Halo.
Certain Affinity's working on a Halo title right now.
Are they?
Yeah. The rumor for a long time has been it's been a battle royale, but supposedly it's become more than that, and it is being developed on Unreal Engine 4, I believe, if not 5. So,
do you think it should have launched with one, Infinite?
Dude, that game hardly launched as is. So,
in a perfect world,
I guess, but there really is potential for a Halo Battle Royale, but Battle Royale is kind of like in a stagnant place right now.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't be that interesting at this point. But I look forward to seeing what Bungie does reviving Marathon as a extraction shooter. Has potential. Bungie's really great at a lot of things, so obviously any type of shooter. So they've really nailed the looter shooter these days that a lot of games have tried to emulate and failed.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Destiny's kind of fizzled out with their latest expansion.
They still have a mega, I don't know if it niche is the right word, but dedicated fan bases still play.
Oh, yeah, Destiny. I'm not saying that. I just mean, like, it got a lot of bad press.
Well, I think it was the story that got a bad press. The gameplay was praised, but it was the story apparently wasn't impressive.
I heard the raid was kind of weird, too.
I haven't heard about the raid. I've just heard, like, the new supers and stuff, and, like, the strand ability is really
cool. That stuff looks cool. Yeah. I see people swinging around each other and stuff. And it looks really cool.
Zach and I and Andy tried to get back into Destiny 2 a few months ago, and it was overwhelming, dude. We just could not handle it. It was too much.
I heard there's, like, 20,000 pop-ups when you launch the game.
Yeah, it was crazy. We just couldn't figure out what to do, where to go. We were just aimless, dude. It was so much. I just wish they could almost do a... Preston and I were talking about this because he kind of got overwhelmed too. He said he figured it out. It just took a while. Mm-hmm. I wish they could do like a soft relaunch and like almost not rebrand Destiny, but like consider it like invite a new crowd in with like an expansion even after the one they just did. That's sort of like a soft relaunch that like streamlines everything and makes it like very easy to follow. That would probably bring me back into Destiny because even though we went back and messed around at a couple of strikes, a couple of story missions, and it was very fun. I remembered what I loved about Destiny, especially on PC. It's the gunplay just feels outstanding in those games, or that game, I should say. So I'd like to see a reason for them to streamline it and invite new and old players back to really understand it and get back into that. Because I'd really give Destiny a chance again if I could just understand it without having to work really hard to understand it. So that's just me.
Yeah, it's one of those games I would like to revisit one day, but I don't know if I ever will. In a perfect world, I'd have time to go back to it.
Yeah, we got Diablo coming out. We don't have time for Destiny.
We don't have time for it.
We've been waiting over 10 years for Diablo.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Diablo Immortal. That was fun.
I played that for like 10 seconds.
I played that for far longer than I should have.
Wow, dude.
I got to max level.
I did not love that.
Yeah, it was bad. I'll never play that again. What a trash game.
Yeah, thankfully the real game's coming soon. Man, so it's such an amazing year for games, dude. It's been so great so far. It's one of those rare years where just everything's hitting so hard.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that every game we're looking forward to over the course of the summer is also going to be incredible. And beyond Spider-Man, hopefully we'll get one, even if it's not even a PlayStation exclusive, just another amazing game toward the end of the year would be awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe something will surprise us from Sony that we just didn't even see coming and when they do their showcase.
Maybe. Never know. Maybe we'll get the Naughty Dog multiplayer game.
I hope so. I think last out. I heard it's like supposedly definitely coming next year, but I'm really, really intrigued to see what that is.
Maybe.
So anyway, I think that'll about do it for us, Jacob. I have no idea how long we've been talking. This was 280. Love talking to you.
Yeah, this is fun.
I like these just like laid back, just talking about games episodes, dude. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it's good catching up. See, when we don't do this for so long, we have so much to catch up on, so we don't have to do a real show.
Totally. But I would do this every week if we could. It's not that we don't want to. It's just life is crazy. But like I said a while back on I think it was our 8-year anniversary back in February, I said, as long as we're able, we'll always do like an episode, even if it's every 6 months, just because we're friends. I assume we will be friends till our dying day in some capacity, even if we're living across the country or down the street from each other, as long as we're breathing and able, we will record an episode when we can. So,
yeah, shame you aren't free this weekend.
I might be. I just got to figure out my schedule. I'll let you know. We'll figure something out.
I got a whole Saturday free. I'm going to go get some breakfast and take yams on a walk. It's going to be fun.
Dude, that sounds awesome. Yeah. You should go to Buttermilk Kitchen Saturday morning.
By myself? I don't know about that.
Yeah, you go with me.
Oh, if you're free, yeah.
You see those chicken and waffles I posted earlier?
I did, actually.
Dude, they are kings of breakfast over there, dude. They are not effing around with anything.
Yeah, I watched that whole video. I wasn't going to skip it.
Yeah, there are many breakfast places I love in Atlanta, but Buttermilk Kitchen laughs in the face of all of them, dude. They are unbelievable how good their food is.
Bro, anyway, you get a reservation. if we're gonna go.
Well, if we show up when they open, Saturday morning and Sunday morning is like prime time for them. But if we get there when they're opening, we can just grab a coffee. They let you order like at the bar while you're waiting. If we have to wait like 30 minutes, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So good conversation and a lovely spring Saturday morning, Jacob. Coffee in hand.
Oh my God.
God bless this nation, dude. God bless America. God bless you. God bless video games.
What a speech.
Yeah. That is my political ad.
I'm going to quote you on that.
My candidacy when I turn. You got to be 36 or 34 to run for president.
I have no clue.
Isn't that crazy, dude? In like 6 years, we could run for president if we wanted to.
God, let's do it.
Yeah, dude, let's be running mates. We'll run on great video games.
For all.
As a principle. Yeah, great video games for all.
No matter your affiliation.
Yeah. So, yeah, we could come up with some funny stuff to run on. All the principles we stand for in gaming.
Yeah. We could have a good campaign. I have faith in us.
Totally. I'll never forget, I don't want to give their names, but the gentleman in our high school class that ran for class president and won over the most popular girl in our class. It will never be not amazing to me. That is legendary.
It was the class clown versus the most popular girl in school.
Yeah, and he won. Yeah, dude. Incredible, dude. I'll never forget that. Like, she was actually devastated. She could not believe it.
I know. And then he didn't do a damn thing, like any of his duties.
Dude, I bet, like, I mean, I guess in high school, that's always kind of been a possibility. But yeah, that was unforgettable.
I think we've already, did we have a reunion? I don't think we did.
Our 10-year reunion was 2 years ago, and I didn't have no idea what happened with it. I'll never go to a high school reunion as long as I live.
I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I don't care at all. So
I probably wouldn't have gone anyway.
That's the thing. It's like they're more pointless than ever because of social media. So
yeah, you can
just like E3 is pointless because we have digital showcases. Everything's digital now. Yep. That's why you and I never see each other, Jacob. We're looking at each other over a screen right now. That's all we ever do.
It's true.
It doesn't have to be.
I work on
that
a computer.
Way.
I game on a computer. I watch shows on my computer.
Dude, I hate being on my computer, dude.
It. I love
it. I can't stand it, dude. So I would rather, I'm thinking mostly of work, dude, but I'd rather be out in the freezing ice cold or the blazing heat, dying of heat exhaustion with a camera in my hands and being on my computer for more than 30 minutes a day. I cannot stand it, which is ironic because I edit so much.
Yeah.
But I shoot a lot too, but editing's a big part of the job. And like I did my... And I'm really disheartened right now, if I'm being honest, because my videos for COG used to perform very well, but the last few I've done have just like been duds. Oh, and I pour like my soul into my content for them because I always treat everything I do for COG and really any video I do like it's the last thing I'm ever going to do. Like if I were to die tomorrow, like that's the video I'd be known for making.
Yeah.
And I like really work super hard on my Star Wars review and it's got like 200 views.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is so bad.
I'll watch
it. It's less about me. It's like I really want to do good work for COG because COG has like been so kind to me and like given me so many wonderful opportunities to really experience the game industry from like someone who works in it. Like I've truly like had the full experience of the games industry over the last 6 years, 7 years since 2017. And so everything I do for them, like I want to like out of like respect for the opportunity and like respect of like PR and developers that like worked years on these video games. Like I want it to be done well. And that's just disheartening when like no one sees it.
Yeah, I get that.
So is what it is, I guess. But that's the thing. At the end of the day, Jacob, I've never been disheartened about the clicks. And more, it's like, I know I did everything I could to make that as good as I possibly could. And like, that's what matters to me most.
Yeah.
So
as long as you remember that.
Yeah, I'm satisfied because of that. So that's why we keep doing It's Obvious Gaming, dude. Like, obviously, like we were growing for a while, we stagnated, and now we're at a point where we just exist. And I'm so glad we have folks still tuning in and hanging out on Discord. But it's never really been about like the growth side to me, although that would have been awesome. Like, I still just love doing this with my friends and like anyone who's down to hang and tune in. We love you and we appreciate you. So,
yes, we do.
I think on that note, Jacob, that's been 280.
Yep. Happy 280.
Yeah. Love you to bits, Jacob, and hopefully I'll see you this weekend.
Yep, good night. I gotta get to bed and get to work. Back on the grind.
Peace.
See you, man.